Hold on, just taking a step back a couple of years, actually. How did you become involved with Highlander 3?
Highlander 3? Stuart Copeland, who's actually a client of Derek's, had done Highlander 1, Highlander 2, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Morahan, the director, who's a music video director, I'd met a few times.
Right.
And he said, if ever I do a film, will you do it? I said, yeah, no problem. Yeah. So, but one never thinks that would materialise. And sure enough, he did. He got the job at Highlander 3. The producers happened to be friends of Derek's, and they, you know, he said, do you know this guy, JP? And they kind of laughed and said, yes, we know who he is. So there was a phone call, and I started work on that.
Mm-hmm. Now, because Highlander has such a rich musical sort of a history to it, with Michael Kamen and Stuart Copeland doing did you sort of consult with them beforehand, or did you just sort of come into it fresh? And
Well, I'd seen Highlander 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
and I liked them. The first one was so driven by the Queen songs, you know, mm-hmm. which I thought was a terrific idea. This one, the third one didn't have that in it.
Right.
It had some very nice Scottish folk songs, you know, Lorena McKinnon,
yes.
who I think is absolutely beautiful. You know, I love her stuff. And we got some, you know, Scottish musicians in, you know, pipe players and drummers, and I kind of wanted to make it a more rooted in the history of the Highlander, rather than it being just an action film.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that respect it's a little different. I mean, but there are concessions to it being, you know, an action film that one can't really avoid. But there were moments, I think, that successfully, I think I achieved that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Lorena McKennett, and actually she lives about half an hour away from where the studios are here.
Is that right?
Yes. Did you consult with her at all?
I never actually got to speak to her, which is a shame. You know, I mean, I really love the pieces that that she had submitted and were being used in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a piece of hers with a chap, I can't remember his name, who was a pipe player. It was absolutely wonderful.
Wouldn't be Patrick Hutchison, would it?
It was, in fact. It was Patrick Hutchison. Well done. There was a piece that was in there that I had assumed they had licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it was always in the film. And they had, in fact, licensed this song. This kind of got left out. Anyway, we got to the dub. And this is up in Montreal. And we got to this sequence, and it was silence. They said, so where's the score? I said, well, you've got that piece in. They said, no, we haven't any licensed two songs. So I said, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they said they couldn't afford it, they didn't want to do it, so I said, sod it. So I called Lorena and Patrick's legal people,
mm-hmm.
and said, look, it's on the composer, I mean, there's not a lot of money, but I'm going to pay for this to be put in, because I feel that... it's absolutely right. So very kindly, they did a very nice deal with me, and so those pieces are in now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to meet her. I think she's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how do you actually come up with cue names for the various cues that are on a soundtrack?
Well, sometimes they're a bit of a sometimes I use them as a joke, you know. But they're really only for you know, legal purposes in terms of the cue sheets that are sent off to the various performing rights societies. I don't know. I mean, I've always fascinated by the intrigue that you get from the title when you look at a record label,
mm-hmm.
a record cover, and think, well, what does that mean? And just the title conjures up moods and makes you remember the scene from the film. So rather than go, you know, Joe meets Bill, try and give a title that evokes the feeling of what that scene meant, rather than just putting it down in literal terms.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right. So, what are the considerations, or what are the circumstances that come up to say, okay, there's going to be a soundtrack released for this film with your music on it?
That's usually left to the music supervision department.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, on the odd occasion where I'd like to bring out a score album. We'll do it independently of the film, but usually that's all done through the music supervision and the clearance department.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you know, it's all tied in with the record, the needle drop,
mm-hmm.
and. So the score part of it, the score album, whatever goes on the album, is all done through that those channels.
So in 1997, you scored the animated series Spawn.
Yeah.
Is there any difference between composing for animated films as opposed to live action?
Oh, terrific! Tremendous differences. For one thing, there's no production. There's no production sound. There's no live recording. Because there aren't any live people, it's all drawn. It all comes from scratch,
mm-hmm.
and so every sound, everything you hear, from dialogue, sound effects, and music, all are created from scratch. And I worked very closely with the sound effects editor and creator on that film. He used to send me, you know, his daily work. And then I would incorporate those sound effects as bases for my score. So really, we created a sound tapestry as opposed to individual effects and music.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that worked tremendously well.
Right. So is there do you have to sort of now separate in the case of an animated feature or something like that, do you actually have to separate sound effects and music, or do they sort of work together?
No, I mean, you know, the fact that you know, when with most films, mm-hmm. the sound effects department and the music department work you know, independently of each other, and so that, you know, when one gets on the stage, it's usually a big battle as to, you know, well, I want the music louder. Well, I want the sound effects louder. And there's usually big fights going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because neither department really has heard each other's work. Whereas in this case, it was because I was sending him my stuff, he was sending me his stuff, we knew what was going on. He could leave things out to them, you know, as opposed to over-cluttering the sound design with unnecessary effects, with the music carried it, and vice versa. If there was a terrific effect over something, I didn't need to. I could actually enhance the sound that I was hearing, rather than write something to an imaginary sound that would be in later.
Mm-hmm.
And in that respect, it worked very, very well. I really enjoyed that collaboration.